Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everybody, and welcome to Gobbler Country's Talkin' Turkey. This is our first post-holiday show. Brian Manning, my usual co-host, is with me. Jay's on the road again, so, you know, that's traveling man. But Brian, how you doing? How's the, you know, holiday was good, right?
Yes, sir. Happy New Year, John. Just went from freezing cold to 65 degree weather, so can't complain too much.
Yeah, pneumonia weather for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, today we went out to dinner and everybody else had the same idea at the steakhouse, so we went to the Italian place, I guess. And my wife is like looking at me like, hey, but you cooked Italian for Christmas. So all that stuff aside, we got some sports to talk about. There's some interesting news going on, especially with men's and women's basketball. Men's basketball has kind of hit kind of a tough patch right now. Women look like they were going to hit a tough patch. We'll talk about that, but they did something pretty special the other night. And then we're going to talk about football and the roster situation. And there's still some trickling from what I'm hearing. They're still making some offers, and we'll talk about, or they're still trying to get some of these transfer portal people interested in showing up to at least talk. So, I mean, Brian, you might have some interesting information on that one, but I'm going to defer to you for right now. I'm going to start off with men's basketball. What's going on there?
Last time we had our podcast, the Hokies had only lost one game. Since that time, we've dropped two games, and both have been two ACC games on the road. One at Boston College, 70-65 in overtime, and one to Wake Forest, 77-75. Both a little bit heartbreakers. Though I think the Boston College loss hurts more than the Wake loss. I think Wake's a pretty good team. Boston College loss, so you got to have that one. But the big news in that game was Hunter Couture went down with a left arm injury. And at first, it looked like it was going to be serious. I think there were some concerns that he may have broken his wrist or fractured his wrist or something at some point. But the news came out pretty good that it was more of a game-to-game injury. And he didn't play last week, but we play Clemson next, which is Wednesday night, I believe, back in Blacksburg. And then we play again Saturday. So hopefully Couture will be back for one of those two games. And we're still waiting on the debut of Rodney Rice. He was a game-time decision on Saturday.
I wouldn't think he's going to play at all this season, to put it bluntly. At this particular juncture, I just don't see it happening. That's just my opinion.
I think he'll play. He was dealing with an ankle injury, so it's nothing broke, anything, just an ankle. And I don't know why the extra time, but some of those ankle injuries can be tricky. But when you got a freshman that highly rated, I don't think they want to put him on ice for a year. So I do think he'll play. I don't know when. Hopefully this week, because we could use him. You had more guys. You had Mike Young stuck with a 8-man rotation still without Couture. Lynn Kidd moved into the lineup with Mutt. and Basile while Padula and Maddox were the guards. John Camden got a lot more time this week. He played 15 minutes, scored 6 points. Poteet, I think, has given him some really good minutes off the bench. He had 9 points and 5 rebounds last time out. And then Collins, another freshman, played 28 minutes. Only scored 3 points, but played some pretty good defense. But the Hokies have struggled a little bit from three-point range lately, 28% against Wake Forest. You know, you on a team that's built to knock those shots down, you need to hit a few more of those. But anyway, I think getting Couture and hopefully Rice back will help the team. I know we went through this little swoon at this time last year,
yeah,
and we corrected ourselves in late January. Hopefully it's not late January this time we correct ourselves. So the schedule should produce a couple of wins this week, I'm hoping. But this is the ACC, and as we all know, on any given night, any one of these teams can knock off the top teams. It's really always been that way. The depth's pretty good in the league, but we'll see what happens. I'm overall still 11-3. You got in the top 25 one week and you lost. So I'm not too concerned about the top 25. Just win your ACC games and let the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah. Couture, the thing is that people don't notice is Couture's contribution is more than the fact that he's got a decent long-range shot and can really drain, you know, and when he's hot, can really drain critical threes. But he's also really good on defense, and a lot of people don't really notice that too well. He's really good at putting on quality pressure. And without him in that lineup, the defense really starts to struggle a little bit. So, you know, I getting him back is probably going to be critical for the rest of the season. And if they don't get him back, they're going to have to really get some step ups from some other kids.
Yeah, I seen the latest news we got was it was coming from the team itself that it wasn't serious, which leads me to believe he'll be back soon, because the team would kind of stay quiet on that if it was something more serious. So
yeah,
it's not just a little some rumors going around it. So it sounds like he's in good shape. So that's a good thing. Sounds like, well, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have been. Now, the other basketball team, they started to hit a rough patch too, didn't they? The girls went out, and the last three games, it was some disappointing stuff going on. We all talked about before we left for the holidays, we talked about the Notre Dame loss, which was really disappointing, and then the win at High Point, which kind of picked everybody back up again. But the tooth grinder was going to be, hey, what happens when you go down to Clemson and play Clemson? It was close game point-wise, 59-64, but there were some issues in that game that, as you look at some of the stats, you started seeing some strange things popping up and bubbling around. And one of the things that you saw was the fact that maybe a couple of the teams, including especially Notre Dame, showed that how you defend against Liz Kitley is you double team Liz Kitley and you pound the snot out of everything on the inside and you press hard. And they have ball control problems at that point. And this is a team that likes to control and put the ball on the court and pass and set up good opportunities and not rush. And by pressing hard and risking fouls and actually playing an entire bench, Notre Dame almost emptied their bench. And then in Clemson emptied their bench. Clemson played all of their players. And they did exactly the same thing that Notre Dame did, which was they just started pounding on Kitley and pounding, you know, keeping her out, screening her away, pushing, shoving, hip move, you know, hip shots, the whole bit. I mean, it was pretty stifling. They were really hurting the Hokies on trying to get the ball in the basket. And then they went cold for a big chunk of the game. And we talked about it back and forth. If you're a team that depends on that three-point shot, not just three-point shot, but, you know, the 12 footers, the 8 footers, your team that depends on that stuff, and you're not a big inside team, and you get frozen out, and you end up getting bad shot selections and bad shot setups, and so the lid goes on, you're in trouble. And they recovered from it, and they almost came back in that game, but it was worrisome. And here's the wrap up of this. Kenny Brooks made some coaching questionable calls. He shortened his bench. He played his starting players almost all the way through the game for the last couple. He opened his bench up a little bit against North Carolina, and he started to get the girls to respond to that heavy pressure, because Carolina started bringing the heavy pressure again. Because they're watching films, they're seeing what's going on. Carolina started with the heavy pressure. And this time, they started loosening up. They started moving the ball around on the outside. They started taking quality shots in the alleys. They started setting up so that they got Liz Kittley involved. Kittley did not score a whole lot of points in that game. She did get a double, and she did get, you know, a fair number. But what it was with Kittley was draining them from the free throw line because she was getting fouled constantly. It was the two big stars of the Carolina win were Georgia Amore again, who came in with 24 points, quarterbacked the offense, and did a pretty great job of keeping things organized. But De'Asia Gregg came in, controlled things, and she was rebounding in defensive rebounds. She was stopping rallies. She was commanding the exchanges so that we went back on top. I lost track of the number of exchanges we had between the lead exchanges in the play-by-play. I literally was trying to count them in the play-by-play because I couldn't keep track of them in the game because it was on TV. And I lost track of them in the actual written play-by-play. It got so confusing as the lead changes went back and forth. There was very rarely more than 4 points between the teams. So this game proved that Virginia Tech wasn't just a finesse team. Virginia Tech women's basketball wasn't just a finesse team. They could get in there and muscle it around just like everybody else. And it was really great to see De'Asia Gregg step up and really become a really quality defender in their mix. And she knocked away the last inbound pass to keep Carolina from scoring, getting a chance to score anything. And the 3 points that Amore put up on those three foul shots, because they fouled her on the, she drew a foul on a 3-point shot. She ended up putting them ahead for the last second of the game. So that was an exciting basketball game. It really was. People need to watch it. The next game they have coming up is on the schedule for the women's team is Virginia. It's on Thursday. Carol and I are going, my wife and I are going, and maybe my daughter too. We'll see. It looks like Blacksburg's going to try to put on the dog. It's another local, you know, the local show up. And so Blacksburg's going to probably show up to see if we can get the Hoos. Everybody wants to see the Hoos get beat, right? All right. So we're going to just do this in two segments tonight. So let's just take the commercial break, and then we're going to do our last segment for the night and talk football. So we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us today for this episode of Talking Turkey, presented by SB Nation's Gobbler Country. If you haven't already, like and follow us on Facebook, check us out on Twitter, at Gobbler Country, and check out the website, gobblercountry.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome back. For our last segment, we're going to talk about, of course, the big news. We didn't really get a chance to talk a lot about it, was the early National Signing Day, which is kind of a misnomer, really, right, Brian? I mean, it's not really early National Signing Day. It's really National Signing Period starts.
February's the first day, first Tuesday, Wednesday in February, whatever day it was, a Tuesday or Wednesday, isn't quite as, it just kind of goes by now and nobody thinks anything about it. You'll hear a few schools flip a big player or sign a big player who holds out, but December is signing day now. It's unofficially the signing day, and I like it better because it gives some of these other schools, these bigger name schools, you know, I say bigger name, you know, like I'm saying like Alabama, Ohio State, it gives them when they miss out on a guy in a school like Virginia Tech has found an under the radar corner out of Maryland or something. And it gives them a chance to, hey, we didn't get so-and-so, so let's go and put the press on this kid that we didn't even want, you know, for the past 8 months. But I like that aspect of it. It closes the window a bit for schools like Virginia Tech to sign these guys and get them enrolled, and a lot of them in January.
Yeah, a lot of these kids, number one, they're ready to graduate from high school anyway. And yeah, let you get them matriculate. You can sign, you can get them practicing early, as long as they start for the summer, first summer session, it lets you get them started. What really does is, of course, it's important is if they can get them registered in the school for the spring semester, is it sets them up on the roster for spring practice. And that's really critical if you've got kids that are transfers, or if you have kids that are like early graduates from high school where and they're really good, and you know they've got a real shot to play or at least make the depth chart for the first time. You'd like to get them into those first early fall, into those first early spring practices and get that spring game so that you can see what they can do. It's kind of really a benefit. So one thing, you're right. One thing it does is it kind of slams the door in the fish. It says, you know, you committed to us and, you know, everybody, me, I'm one of those people that says no more of the commitment signing day. You go to a kid and you say, you offer a kid and the kid signs. That's it. It's over. Nobody can talk to them. Or you say no commitments until signing day. We start up signing day, and then you have a limited period of time where the kids decide what they're going to do, and then they sign. You know, one or the other, you know, this fishing and poking. And face it, I mean, they've already accused Notre Dame of tampering with the quarterback swap. So that was an eye-opener, wasn't it? You kind of scratch your head going, who is talking to whom?
This stuff's been going on for years, and now they've kind of legalized it to a degree, and it is what it is. You hate it, but you just got to learn to adapt in the atmosphere that we're in. That's all you can do. And I know that, you know, there were some other schools trying to poach a couple of our guys, and I won't say anything more on that, but you know, we did some work to keep him around. So, you know, it's going to have to, like Brent Price said it, and I think this is what he was alluding to. You've got to recruit your own roster every week. I mean, if a kid goes out there and has a bad practice and a coach gets on him and you know, you got to go recruit him to keep him from leaving. I mean, it's always, you know, he was talking about after, you know, the spring, you know, I got to go recruit my roster again. And Pry was saying that he wished there was one period and they would close the window a little bit on the transfer portal, that he likes it. But and I completely agreed with him. I think they need to narrow the window a little bit, but, you know, it's not going to change anytime soon.
Remember, so. It wasn't a rule set. People keep forgetting the transfer portal has been, there have been some rules salted around afterward, but the transfer portal was an invention of the court. It was a court, and it was a consent decree to create the thing from the NCAA for a court decision. So that and NIL have both been responses to court decisions. So in NCAA in itself has not been very good at responding to that. I mean, we're going to have something that we've talked about because Jay and I are not, we don't agree on playoffs or whatever, as far as what the playoffs are and who should be playing in the playoffs or whatever. It's honest disagreement between good friends, and we're going to end up doing a series of debates, and then you've got your own opinions. So we're going to end up in the future doing a series of debates based on the series of where we think football is going to go, college football is going to go. And part of the problem is how we mentally think about the college football competition as a whole, and is it actually practical? I mean, you've got now, what is it, 20, there's a rumor of 26, between 12 and 26 teams in the FCS that want to form an FBS conference and step up to FBS out of FCS, two of which are actually playing on championship night, which is North Dakota State and South Dakota State. That's, how do you like that? Between the two states, there's a population less than, I think, Virginia, and they're playing the national championship for the FCS. But the point is that we need these discussions, and we're not seeing them, and we're really not hearing them. There's everybody shuts up, puts their hands over their head, faces, puts their hands over their ears. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to know. They, you know, it's like it'll just blow over, and everything will go back to the way it was. It's not going to, is it?
No, we are where we are.
You know, so we're going to talk about that in an upcoming series. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it'll probably be just like it is tonight, 2 15-minute segments, and we'll let Jay, and then let me, you know, with you moderating. And then, you know, you're going to have something to say. So maybe I'll moderate, you and Jay can talk about what you think should happen or where it's going to go. But we've got to design it so it doesn't get all wild and out of control and it actually comes to some sort of place. But I think it's an important discussion to have. And I think maybe we need to be on board with a public set of solutions, maybe. I don't know. I've always been one of those guys that my dad taught me a long time ago that, you know, if you don't offer solutions, you just got complaints. The old fashioned guys didn't want to hear complaints, did they? So, Brian, I'm going to let you go for the last part of this. I had my say for that, but give me your impression on what, you know, you've talked in private about it. Give me your impression about what we have, what our new roster changes are going to be. You know, you get the last 5 minutes.
Well, I think we touched on the kids. We got transferred in Kyron Drones, Ollie Jennings, Quan Felton, and those guys. I think we talked about those. You know, I think we should focus on the 25 kids we signed for the class of 2023. We could add some more for the February period, but if it does, it's only going to be one or two. And I don't necessarily foresee that, but I do foresee us maybe signing two or three more players out of the transfer portal in the spring, maybe, or here in January. But as of now, the Hokies signed 25 players, and according to 247 Sports, it was a 37th overall ranking class, 34th in the composite ranking, which to me, the composite ranking is the one you want to go on because it combines all the different recruiting services into one ranking. So a solid 34, you know, you'd like to see the Hokies up in the 20s, but realistically, in today's day and age, if you can hang around 28 to 30, that's pretty good for Virginia Tech. The key is to develop the players. But when I look at the overall class, I like some of the offensive linemen we signed. I like some of the receivers and defensive backs we signed. We've stressed this before, and I'll stress it again. I'm a little concerned about the defensive tackle position in a few years. Like, if Pollard and Kendricks do come back next year, which sounds like they are, and Fugle will be back next year, and a couple of the freshmen that we had last year ready to play, I'm okay this year, I think, with the depth. But you got to start getting these guys in your pipeline and start building, you know, putting some weight on them, getting them some conditioning over for a year or two before you start to see the dividends on the field. And we don't really have a lot in the pipeline, which concerns me. And you don't see a lot of defensive tackles in the transfer portal. You see ends, but because – you know, if there's a good defensive tackle in the transfer portal, he's going to be snapped up by, you know, an Alabama or an Ohio State or some or anybody like that. But that's my only concern is the defensive tackle. I like some of the – I love the quarterback that we flipped from Nebraska, William Watson. He's a little smallish, but if you watch him, he's obviously fast, but he's got a pretty big arm for his size. And from we know Tyler Bowen wants to do the RPO stuff, wants to have an athletic guy who can. And we've already succeeded with a dual threat quarterback, and Watson fits that mold. After, you know, hopefully Kyron Drone starts here for a couple of years, and that's a success. But I like adding competition, getting a few. They signed two quarterbacks in the class, him and Dylan Whitke out of one of the most powerful programs in Georgia. But I actually see Watson as the better quarterback prospect. And then you also got Devin Farrell coming back, Bullock, you know, Wells and Drones. I think you're going to see that position thin out in the spring. I wouldn't be surprised if one or two guys either transferred out or switch positions even. I think you're going to see some movement there because it's a lot of scholarship quarterbacks.
Yeah, I do see the hope that maybe they push a couple of the guys because a couple of those guys could actually make good wide receivers and had been known to have had some wide receiver looks and talent that they put them in at quarterback. You know how it is in high school, you know, that the coaches are going to stick you in where they think they can use you if you're a really good athlete, and a really good athlete's going to end up, you know, the best athlete on the team usually ends up being the quarterback for no apparent reason other than he's the best athlete on the team. So we'll see. I don't know how many of those guys are going to want to slide out into the slot per se, or out on the end.
They're not necessarily going to be wide receivers. A couple of them could be a tight end. A couple of them, you know, be in the secondary. Bullock's the interesting one because he's got the size to do more than just play wide receiver. But we'll see. He hasn't found a home yet at quarterback here, and it doesn't sound like he's in the mix really to be the starter this upcoming season. So we'll kind of see how that one goes. But I like some of the secondary, you know, kids in the secondary we signed. Dante Lovett, Cameron Fleming, Braylon Johnson, Caleb Woodson. A lot of really talented kids coming in. And, you know, Woodson's a guy I see ending up at linebacker, you know, but Lovett and Fleming at corner. I really like some of if these kids pan out like we think they're going to pan out, and you add some of the guys we got last year, obviously Delane is the big name. The future's pretty bright for us to get DBU back on track now. So I like some of the offensive linemen, like I said earlier, that Joe Rudolph signed. He signed four. Ganem out of West Virginia is the big prospect. He had some people coming to try to flip him late, and he stuck with the Hokies. So really, really excited to see this group, and hopefully the big thing for this year is what we want to see in spring ball. We want to see Kyren Drones. This isn't a reflection on Grant Wells, trying to put down Grant Wells or anything. We want to see Kyren Drones come in and take that job and run with it, because that bodes well for what happens for us on the field in 2023.
Yep. I agree with you 100% on that one. That was, you know, I can't wait to sit in the stands and see how he plays. Well, that's it for this show. The next one, next week, when we sit down to record, we'll have a little bit more information. The girls will have played basketball. We'll have results for the Virginia game and the Sunday results for the Miami game. They're traveling to Coral Gables to Miami. And what's the men's schedule look like?
Clemson and North Carolina State, Wednesday and Saturday, both at home.
Oh, good. So, all right. We got something to talk about on Monday then. We will happily be back with you next week to talk about those results. And like I said, we're going to start staging up and start working out this kind of debate kind of thing that we're going to do. And we're going to talk about differing opinions on how college football playoffs and college football proceeds in general. So as always,
go Hokies.
Go Hokies.